3 years old, going to read from Genesis, the 26th chapter, verses 17 through 25. And I have a certain amount of credits. Credits to let you know. I didn't get to almost 4 o'clock. So there might be some errors along the way. Just say, forgive the Lord, let me keep going, all right? Don't stop me, don't pray. Amen. Let us just stand for our scripture reading, because only a few verses from Genesis, the 26th chapter, and then verses once again 17 through 26. And it's so important that we also realize that Isaac is what? A type of what? Christ. So much of what we read in this 26th chapter, thanks for turning that fan off, sound a lot better. Much of what we read in this 26th chapter of Genesis really has more spiritual and deeper implications than you realize initially. All right, so remember that as we read, there are more spiritual and more implications than what is on the surface. It goes much deeper, man. So let's just start off in the 17th verse. 17th verse says, "And Isaac departed thence, and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the well of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. He called the name of the well Esau, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence, and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went off from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there I the servant did well." Amen. May the Lord have blessed to read on the word the church said.
Word of the Lord.
Blessed already. Amen. May be seated. Also, Bishop did call in Evangelist Agents. They thanked the church for sending them the card and the gift. He said, make sure you let the church know. I said, thanks for the card and the gift. The bereavement gift that we sent in for a mother, Hayes' mother. I don't know, it ain't supposed to be hot, but we all hot.
Yes.
Thank God for
fans.
May you turn it off. Go ahead and turn it down.
Amen.
Yes. All right, so let's go to our notes. Now, once again, this scripture in particular has much deeper implications than what appears naturally on the eye, to the eye. Okay, so we're going to start off with a note. They all start off in Genesis 26, 17, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Genesis 26, 17, and it reads, "And Isaac departed thence, and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there, and Isaac departed thence. This being Isaac went
forward."
He went what?
Forward.
You know, and I think it's a valuable lesson that we all need to learn. Amen. When you're in one of those streets, and you're dealing, especially in a hostile area, don't stay where you are. You have to move forward. Amen. We already stated that the man usually would fight if someone plugged up their well, and this was ruinous to them and constituted serious aggression. And I mean, the water is the wellspring of life.
Amen.
You have to have water to survive. Amen. Amen. So they plugged up something that they needed to survive, which didn't really make sense, especially since they were anyone in a drought situation. But we read that Isaac departed at once, meaning that he left peaceably and quietly without taking himself either to argument or arms in favor of defending himself. He departed how? Immediately. As soon as he had perceived his abode was disagreeable to the king and his people, which shows us a very agreeable idea of the calm and peaceable disposition of Isaac. And he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Now, remember, Abimelech sends him away to the valley. All right, so now let's see what kind of nature, what kind of spirit Gerar had. Now, Gerar was the king of all the Philistines. And last week we established that the Philistines of that day are the modern day Palestinians. Amen? And also, we know that the Philistines were enemies to Israel all the way up to King David. Right? All the way up to King David, the Philistines were the enemies of Israel. This shows us the evil and malicious nature of Abimelech. Valley that he was sent to was Hebrews 51:58 Naor, which is a wadi. A wadi is a stream bed, a river valley that was usually dry but flooded during the rainy season. So Abimelech plugs up the wells of waters that Abraham had dug and sent Isaac into a dry and barren riverbed, which received water during the rainy season. But there was only one problem. What was the problem? They were in a drought. Right? So he sees that God is blessing Isaac. You see that God, remember what the scripture said, Isaac received a hundredfold when he planted in a drought? So instead of them wanting to find out, how did you get so blessed, they got jealous. Jealousy can ruin a person. The Bible says jealousy is the rage of a man. Amen. The book of Proverbs talks about jealousy, but we're not going to stay there. But it shows you jealousy will make you do some stuff that just ain't right. Now, I don't care if you're a man jealous of a woman jealous of a man, it makes you do stuff that's out of the ordinary. The only problem was that they were in a drought. And Abimelech didn't expect Isaac to find. So he's malicious. He said, okay, you've been blessed. I'm going to send you to the worst of the worst. And then see what you're going to do there. Amen. We'll see that God continued to bless Isaac in a famine because Isaac, when you trust and obey God, no matter how the odds are stacked against you, God will make a way. No matter what the enemy plans, no matter what the enemy does against you, God will make a way if you trust him. And many say they trust God, but the question is, do we fully obey him? Genesis 26:18, and Isaac gave again the wells of waters which they had dig in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had what? Stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And it's important from verse 1 on, remember, Isaac is following, walking in the footsteps of his father. Right? During the famine, he's headed to Egypt. So everything about Isaac is in the footsteps of his father. Alright, this is important as we go along, you see this. There's something that this 26th chapter is revealing to us about Isaac that is invisible to the natural eye. Genesis 26:1 tells us, and there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And remember in the 21st chapter, it says, concerning Abraham, there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went to Abimelech. He went to Gerar also. Amen. And while Abraham was there in the famine, he was digging wells. And God was blessing those wells to produce water. All right, so Isaac is now following in the footsteps of his father. Why? Because God is trying to teach Isaac something. God is trying to teach Isaac, as I did with your father. If you obey me, I will also do with So one of the problems that we're having, especially in the church and Christianity and salvation, is a lot of people are putting their own personal interpretation on the scripture. But Peter lets us know the scripture is of no private interpretation. Amen. We're not supposed to look at the scripture and say what we think. But the Bible says we're supposed to let scripture interpret scripture. And if we let scripture interpret scripture, then we won't go in error. But the problem is a lot of us say, well, I know that what the Bible said, but this is not what the teacher is teaching. Then you can't follow that. Because anything that doesn't support the scripture is an error. And Isaiah said the word of God is given to us here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Why? So that they that read it may fall and baffled and be broken. Why? Because they won't know the truth. So it's important that we let the Bible interpret the Bible. Anytime you take a scripture and build a whole doctrine and there's no support, that's not God. Well, how do we know? The Bible said that then everything be established by what? Two or three witnesses. So if you build a doctrine on one witness, that's not scripture. Do we all understand that? So if you want to build something, there have to be supporting documents to support what you're building. Amen? So it goes on to say, God reveals something about Isaac that is clearly seen by comparing verse 1 and 18. These two verses tell us that Isaac is walking in the heritage of his father Abraham by walking in the same footsteps of his. Notice this 26th chapter mirrors, Isaac mirrors Abraham's life. In a famine, he goes down towards Egypt, or he goes into the land of the Philistines. When he gets there, and Abraham says, Sarah is my sister, Isaac says, Sarah is my sister. Now, he's walking in his father's footsteps, but the only thing, God would not allow Isaac to go down into Egypt. Because God told him, to you stay in the land and dwell there, dwells the Hebrew word, Shechem, because I want to use you to show my glory. Amen. So we have to be so careful in our spiritual walk. We can't do something just because someone else does it. Because God will manifest himself in our lives differently. Because we're not clones. We're all individuals. Do we understand that? We become clones when we do what everybody else does. But what about God? Can we say, what about God? Amen. So let's keep on. Notice that Isaac doesn't do something new by digging. He could have done what? Do well, but what did he do? He's following the footsteps of his father. Right? Jesus is our perfect example. Isaac is a type of Christ. As Isaac is following in his father's footsteps, Jesus walked in his father's footsteps. Right? There's a spiritual meaning behind Isaac's life. Just as Jesus said, he said, I do always the things that please my father. He said, the words that I speak are not my words, but the words that I speak of are the words from the Father. So what is Isaac doing? Isaac is doing just what Jesus did. He's walking in his father's footsteps. Amen? He said it can be confirmed that Isaac is walking in the heritage of the footsteps of Abraham because he doesn't rename the wells, but Isaac called their names after the names by which his father called them. Something that we must consider is this. Why is God revealing all these specific details about Isaac, which exactly mirror what happened with Abraham, his father? And you know, like I said, when I read God's word, it's so amazing. Because God revealed this to who? Moses. But Moses is writing how many years after this all took place? Thousands of years later, he's giving us a detailed account. So in order for God to impress these specific details on to Moses, to write about Isaac, there has to be some spiritual meaning in it. Amen. Because he could have just said, Isaac went to Gerar, and from Gerar he went to Beersheba, and from Beersheba he went here. But God is so particular as to give us the specific details about what happened. God is revealing something to us about Isaac. Isaac, in rejecting his father's will, is showing his connection to his father's journey. And in renaming them with the names of his father had given them, he is also honoring his father's faithful legacy. Isaac is identifying more and more with both the physical struggle and the spiritual journey of his father Abraham, Genesis 26:19. And Isaac's servants dig in the valley and found there a well of springing water. All right, now pay attention to this. While he didn't find water, we found a well of what? And anybody that knows anything about the New Testament knows that Jesus and the Holy Ghost talks about the what? Springing water. So it's a spiritual meaning. And this is the only time when it comes to wells that the springing water is mentioned. But notice, it doesn't mention springing water until Isaac goes out and digs his own well. Right? He didn't name it when he was digging his father's well. But now, when Isaac digs his own well, he didn't just find regular water. He's in a riverbed that's drying in the drought season, and some kind of way, miraculously, God provides living water. Anybody want living water? Thank you, Jesus. So God said, listen, Isaac, I'm going to prove myself to you in a greater way. You're not just going to find running water. I guess it'd be like the artesian wells almost. You know, they used to poke down in the ground and the water just would spring up. Right? So he didn't find just regular water, but he found what? A spring of water. Now spring means alive, living, or running. The phrase living water denotes an underground stream that flows from outside the valley with its source in the north. These waters of living water are a significant symbol of God's life-giving spirit and his sustaining provision. Once again, this miraculous occurrence of finding water, especially since Isaac was sent to the valley, and we said, remember, the valley is a dry riverbed, a river valley which was usually dry but flooded during the rainy season. This was miraculous because they were in a drought. And water was hard to find. We will see that God is continuing to bless Isaac in a famine because and what? In a drought. God said, listen, man, how come God can just give him regular water? He had to give him living water. He had to give him water just streaming. Right? Because God said, I'm going to show you, Isaac. I'm going to manifest yourself. And if we get down far enough, we're going to say, when Isaac sees everything that he sees, and when God manifests himself, Isaac does something that he had not yet done. Amen? So let's continue here. This was miraculous because they were in a drought and water was hard to find. We will see that God is continuing to bless Isaac in a famine because he trusted and obeyed him. Now this well was different from all the other wells. This well has what kind of significance? Spiritual significance. Isaac is a type of? Of Christ. The Hebrew for spring is strong, H-24-16, which is hay or hay, means alive, running, or living. Let's compare several scriptures so that we can get the spiritual significance. John 4:10 and 13-14. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee. He would have given thee living water. Alright? Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall what? Thirst again. For whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a what? Well, the water, know what? It's going to be water that's alive. Right, so we're going right back to Isaac, the living water. John 7:38 says, he that believeth on me, this is who's speaking? Jesus. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living. So Isaac needs a well, and he doesn't just find regular water, but he finds springing water or what? Living water. Revelation 21:6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give my Jesus uses the Cotorn faith phrase, hey, Mayim. All right, Mayim is water, hey is living. If we read it in Hebrew, when he speaks with the woman at the well in John 4, what he says to her initially escapes her awareness. He is telling her that he is the living water. She takes the phrase as a description of a spring that is flowing water. But Jesus used the metaphor with another sense. He is saying that he is the wellspring of, he is the what? Wellspring of life itself. The spiritual implication will be very clear if we compare Genesis 2:7. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the what? The hay, right? The breath of life. And man became a living soul. This is the only well that God revealed unto Moses to have what? Living water. Genesis 26:20. Now there's a lot more to this, but as I said, today was one of those hurry up days. So y'all can do a little more research yourself if you want to really know more. Genesis 26:20. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac, heard the saying, the water is ours. He called the name of the well Ezek, because they strove with him. All right? About the well which was dug in the valley, tells us about the well which was dug in the valley, and this shows it was near Gerar, at least was upon the border of the country, and so it was a disputable point to whom it belonged. But who dug the well? So who did the well belong to? Isaac. All right? And this is what we get even as we go forward, as we get more into the spiritual climate that we live in today, all right? Saying the water is ours. So the well was dug by Isaac's servant, yet they laid claim to the water, pretending it was their ground, being on their borders. Essex, which signifies contention. The reason of the name follows, because they strove with him, wrangled, contended, and disputed with him about who right it was. But who dug the well?
Isaac.
So who did the well, which should the well belong to?
Isaac.
The encampments, such as Ezek, which means contention, and Sitnah, which you get to in the next verse. Now, when you go back into the Hebrews and compare Sitnah, Sitnah is going to reveal a very evil and diabolical name. We'll see it if you look at it. Which is enmity, led to the spacious, fruitful place of Rehoboth, which means inner room. He had many struggles, but we can identify with him and hopefully see how God worked in the life of an average man. You see, these herdsmen of Gerar had this place all to themselves before Isaac came. They could have dug the water, but they did not. Right? You know why they didn't dig? Because they didn't expect to find water, because it was a drought. But God is still blessing Isaac. God is still showing his glory to Isaac, because things that you shouldn't get when you're writing about to get them. That's why we so have to be kept so careful as saints. We can't allow the world to tell us what God can and can't do in our lives. Because they don't have a revelation and they don't have a relationship with God. So the men of Gerar would not have built, because common sense told them you can't find water in a drought. But when God's on your side, amen. God will make a way where there is
no way.
There is no way. They waited until after Isaac herdsmen dug the well, and then they claimed them. Had they been able to take them from Isaac's herdsmen, they would probably have dried up, having cast Isaac out into a place where they knew there was no water. The herdsmen, and this is where we get to the spiritual conflict now, because the same thing is happening today. The Palestinians are trying to take what belongs to Isaac in Israel. The conflict started back then, but it is continuous. It's a spiritual conflict. It's not a natural conflict, it's a spiritual conflict, all right? Because the Philistines of Abraham, they are today's Palestinians. Now, areas of the successive Isaac men attempt to steal the water for themselves. This type of contention is also a familiar refrain in the Israel. refers to a diabolical devilish name. Right? What does that name look like? It's Satan. Right? So when you compare this in the scripture, what Satan actually means is Satan. Satan means adversary. Satan also means an accuser. Alright? So let's continue here. Then is Isaac's servants, also strove for that also. The herdsmen of Gerar disputed their rights to that also, and strove to get it from them. And he called the name of it Sitna, which signifies hatred, it being out of hatred and malice to him that they gave him so much trouble. From this word, Satan has his name. And these men were of a diabolical spirit, envious, spiteful, and malicious. Isaac was a man of God. He voluntarily moved to another spot, as we will see in the next verse. But even today, what the Israel and the Jews are dealing with is a diabolical, devilish scheme from Satan. Right? It's diabolical and devilish. Why? Because the Palestinians are trying to take land that doesn't belong to them, just like they kept taking the wells that belong to Isaac. It's the same plan, the same thing. History is just repeating itself. It has not changed. Amen. Genesis 26, 22. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboam. And he said, for now what? The Lord has made room for us. And we shall be fruitful in the land. Rehoboam, the word means growing up. Finally, a well was dug without a quarrel erupting. Now that they were no longer perceived as encroaching upon another's territory, Isaac selected an appropriate place name which reflected how he saw God's providence working out their situation. Now also remember, what well is this that Isaac has dug? This is what well he dug. The third well, right? Remember, three in Hebrew has holy significance. Right, so we're going to see something miraculous and very spiritual happen after the third well when we get down a little further. Just keep that in the back of your minds, okay? Isaac's patience paid off. God blessed him with another well. These other herdsmen had water now, so they left Isaac alone. Isaac gave God credit for finding the well. In these dire circumstances, Isaac still chooses to act how? Lord, we thank God knows how to deliver the righteous. You just be righteous. And you don't have to worry about what the enemy is doing or the devil is planning against you. You just be righteous. Just like Israel, when they came out of Egypt and within the land of Moab, they did not know that Balak sinned for Balaam to curse them. But they were righteous at that time. So God was keeping and protecting them. When you're righteous, God will provide and make ways of escape for you. Amen? It says, Isaac still chooses to act righteously and moves away from the contentious Philistium to dig a third well. Remember, the Philistium called the modern day Palestinians. We see this same contention for what belongs to Israel taking place today as the Palestinians are still trying to claim what belongs to the seed of Isaac, who's the what? Israelites, or the Jews today. The Hebrew number 3 indicates complex unity, godly action, firm establishment, completion, and security. Also, it's a holy number for God revealing something. This third well, which Isaac called Rehoboam, wide open places, is symbolic of the freedom found in life-giving spiritual waters of salvation. Isaac acknowledges that it is the Lord who has made room for them, rather than their own well-digging know-how. He realized wherever he went, God will what?
Bless him.
Bless him. Now this shows. Now remember, after the third well is going to reveal something. All right? Now this is what it reveals. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him after the third well, right? Because now God is going to reveal himself and reveal something. He appears to him the third night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And Isaac, for the first time, not the second time, but what? First time. When did it happen? After he did the third well. After God reveals himself. Remember, the number three is the number of revelation. After God reveals himself to Isaac, Isaac builds an altar there, and for the first time he does what? Call upon the name of the Lord. Why? He's walking in his father's footsteps. Right? And we'll see that Beersheba is a very spiritual place. If you don't study and really pay attention, you won't realize it. But we're going to find something happened to Abraham and Beersheba. Something happened with Isaac and Beersheba, and something happened with Jacob twice at Beersheba. Why? Because Beersheba is the place where God reveals himself. Right? So if you don't study scripture, you just say Beersheba is Beersheba. But it's a deeper meaning than that. Amen? Because actually, B-E-R is well, and Sheba is O-R-7. Right? So the word Beersheba is the well of oath, or the confirmation of the covenant on the seven. That's what Beersheba means, okay? I didn't know what I said.
Amen.
You all got that?
Amen.
All right, I don't want to leave you there. That's what Beersheba means. But Beersheba has a very spiritual meaning, all right? They call upon the name of the Lord and pitch his tent there. And there Isaac's servant did their will. Isaac journeyed to Beersheba, denotes his desire to what?
Seek God.
Beersheba, the well of the sevenfold oath, is a place of solace and recovery of covenant and sustenance. Abraham had experience with the living God at work. Abraham had experienced the living God at work there at Beersheba. And this is Genesis, I'm not going to go too many more. This is Genesis 21. It says, and Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these seven ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me, that I shall take these wells. So the wells belong to who? Abraham. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech arose up and picked off the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and he did what? He called on the name of the Lord. So what did Isaac just do in Beersheba? Right, he built an altar. Now remember, an altar represents worship. Right? An altar represents worship. It represents a place where you get in God's presence. Right? So in Beersheba, Abraham calls on the name of the Lord. Isaac, we just read, also experienced the living God at work in where? Beersheba. It's, we just read it in 26:23-25. And he went from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the what? Same night that he got to Beersheba. And said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am. He said, I'm with thee, and I will what? Bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant. And recall when Isaac heard that he built and he began to worship. This is the first time Isaac personally worships the Lord himself. All before, he was riding on his father's spiritual legacy. But now God has blessed Isaac in such a way. When he got the living water, Isaac realized, wait a minute, this is not normal. This is a miracle, because I'm getting living water in a place where there is a drought. Amen. And then God continued to bless him to get water from well after well. After all of this, I realized, sure. So what does Isaac do? He builds an altar. He said, Lord, you've done too much for me to shut it up. So now he begins to call on the name of the Lord for himself. He begins to worship. Why? After all God has done for me, I can't close my mouth. Jesus said, if you don't praise me, then what? The rocks will cry out. So Isaac said, I'm not going to let a rock cry out for me. Amen. Isaac sees God has blessed him. Jacob would have his intimate dream of the stairway to heaven immediately following the visit to Bathsheba. This is Genesis 28, 10 through 18. Amen. And Jacob went from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up to the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angel of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord. The what? The Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. And Jacob awake out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and in this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set up an altar. This pillow means he sets up an altar. What is he doing? He's worshiping. Where at Bathsheba? If we don't ever learn anything, when God does something for us, we better learn to worship. Yeah. We better learn to call on God. We can't be quiet when we see what God has done for us. Let's just look. Others didn't make it, but God made a way for you. Yeah. Others came short, but God bless you. You better learn to worship. You can lose everything like Job did, but Bible said, Job said, naked came I out of my mother's head. And naked shall I return to this. He said, the Lord. He's the God of Abraham. Abraham went through it. He's the God of Isaac. Isaac went through it. He's the God of Jacob. Jacob went through it. Amen. God manifested himself. And when God manifests himself, you need to learn to worship. The problem we have in church, God has done so much for us that we take God's goodness for granted. Amen. We think it's going to always be that way. But when God bless you, you are not to be ashamed to stand up and say, if you tell it in 2 minutes, you don't have to tell it in 2 hours. And testimony is hers, right? You shouldn't be ashamed to say, God's done so much for me, I just can't tell it all. God has blessed me in ways that I just can't tell it all. And that's good enough. Don't tell us. All right. Because we get there, we would tell them all the way back when we were 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, all the way up to 40 years old, right? Just say, he's done so much for me. But learn to worship God. We see these three great patriarchs. Every time God manifested himself, they realized they were in the presence of God, they worshiped. What better place to worship God than the church?
Amen.
So when we come to church, we shouldn't come all bowed down and weighed down and all beat up. Amen. Smile on the outside and all beat up on the inside. We should enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Enter into his grace with praise, into his gates with praise. Amen. We ought to be thankful and praise his name. Why? Because God blessed me. Then I had a lot of trouble getting here, but once I get into the house of God, I'm in God's presence. Once I get into God's presence, I have to learn to worship. When you learn to worship God, the Bible says, for the Father seeketh sons to worship him. That means they go together. You can't do one without the other. So if you're going to worship them, worship them how?
Spirit.
A lot of people worship him shouting, but their lives are not true. Well, God can't find you till you get in truth. Amen. For the Father seeketh such who worship him. The hour comes in that end with the true worshipers. Do we have any true worshipers tonight? When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Why? God is a spirit. Amen. God is a spirit and they that worship him.
Must.
Not an option. You want to worship God? Well, you know, I hear why you have to worship him in spirit too, because you can't see him. Lord, but when I begin to worship him, I can feel his presence. This means this is enemy. It means God Almighty, your complete disposal. In Hebrew, H-I-N-E-N-I. I'm at your complete, that's what here am I means. I'm at your complete disposal. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I do it. So he says, right now, he's in God's presence. He says, Lord, what do you have me to do? That's what we need to do when we get in God's presence. Say, what do you want me to do? Not what I want to do. So a lot of times we get in God's presence and tell him what we want him to do. When you get in God's presence, you're not supposed to demand, but you're supposed to listen.
Amen.
He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm in your presence. I'm not going to tell you what to do. It's something about God's manifold blessings in his presence, his glory. When you get in his presence, that's when you got to walk in the Spirit. That's when you're in the Spirit. When you get in his Spirit, he said, Lord, speak to me. I'm in your presence. Right? When you get in his presence, God will manifest himself and he will direct you in such a way. And verse 3 said, he said, I am a God. I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt. He knew Jacob was afraid. He didn't want to go to Egypt. Right? Even though Abraham had gone to Egypt, he knew Isaac was on his way to Egypt. But God told Isaac, don't go to Egypt. Isaac is Jacob's father. I'm sure Isaac had to relate the story. So Jacob's reluctant. He's like, my father, God would let him go to Egypt. Right? Right? Just quick answer. I'm sure. You think Jacob kept all it to himself? No, Isaac kept all it to himself. No, he shared it with his son. So Jacob is reluctant to go to Egypt. But God says, I am the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt. For I will make of thee a even in Egypt. I will go down with thee in Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob, well, remember, for years, Jacob had mourned, or he was grieving because of Joseph. So God said, don't worry, just go down there. He said, now you're reluctant, but listen, you're going to see your son Joseph that you've been grieving for all these years. Or at least 13 years he'd been grieving. He's more than 13 because Joseph was 17 when he went to Egypt. He was 30 when he became second in charge, and he had children at this time. All right, so it was many years later. So he said, don't be afraid. He said, not only that, Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eye. Because at this time, remember that Jacob's eyes were also growing dim. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones, and their wives and their wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry them. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt. His sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him to Egypt. And that's the end of the story. At this point, let me get the rest of it. Amen. But just think, it's something about worship, right? You need to learn to worship God. You don't have to have nobody to worship God. You can worship God by yourself. When you begin to worship God, you bring God's presence to where you are. And when we come to church, if the church, as a church, corporately, can all be on one mind and one accord. Remember what happened on the day of Pentecost when they were on one mind and one accord? Suddenly. We need some suddenly experiences. Like suddenly for God to move. For suddenly for God to heal. And the Bible said that they entered the church such as should be saved. Why? Because they were all with one mind and one accord. They learned to worship. There's something about worshiping God. Amen. You need to. Suddenly we got our Ishmael. Now we need to get a Beersheba. Get a Beersheba in your house. Amen. What's that room? That's Beersheba. Well, what's that? That's where I'm going to meet the Lord. Right? And you need the purpose in your heart. I'm going to meet God there. And then when I get there in his presence, I'm going to listen. Because all three of these patriarchs, God what? Spoke to them. Where? Beersheba. So the problem is, when they got to Beersheba, they had to be patient enough to listen. Our problem is, we got to Beersheba, but we don't listen. We finish telling God all we want, the house, we want the this, we want the that, we want you to do, we want to do all of this stuff, then we take off. God said, wow, I was about to tell you what I'm going to have you do. And I can't tell you because you left too fast. Amen. So we need to learn to relish. You know what it means to relish? When you get in God's presence, hang there for a while. Right? Hang there by yourself. Don't be ashamed. If you got to wave your hand and do something, don't be ashamed of God. Jesus said, if you be ashamed of me before men, he said, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. So we need to learn to worship God and not be ashamed. Amen. And you can be in the middle of nowhere and say, praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Right?
Yes. Then your testimony will help somebody else.
Amen.
Do we have any questions, any comments before we dismiss? I know I went kind of fast, but yeah, you already have one here.